Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the AIDS update when we come back. You know, the genocidal policy of this global 2000 and New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. Now, our national leaders have subscribed to a plan created by the Club of Rome, the United Nations, the Trilateral Commission, and a whole host and plethora of lesser policy-making think tanks to reduce the Earth's population by over 90% over the next 50 years. That's correct, it's 90% over the next 50 years. So let's not delude ourselves into believing that we're going to stop all of these mad scientists and philosophers, these preachers and politicians, in their insane scheme to enslave the world and impose a worldwide tyranny, this new world order, upon all of us. But you know, you and I don't have to participate in our own demise. We don't have to help them. We don't have to finance them. Nor do we need stand helplessly by and do nothing either. It's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, these philosophers, these preachers and politicians, and let you and I prepare to live through and survive this global 2000, this New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order it right now. It's 417-273-4967. Again, that number to call, 417-273-4967. Now, my subsistence and survival school is also available now on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, go to the website georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Again, georgegordon.org or call direct 417-273-4967. Well, it began innocuously when a statistical anomaly pointed to a mysterious syndrome that attacked the immune system of gay men in California. Well, no one could have imagined 25 years ago that AIDS would become the deadliest epidemic in the history of the world. That's right, boys and girls. AIDS has now become the deadliest epidemic in world history, at least so far as we've had records of. Since June 5, 1981, HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, has killed more than 25 million people, infected 40 million others, and has left a legacy of unspeakable loss, hardship, fear, and despair. And I want to break in right here and point out to you that those numbers, 25 million dead and 40 million others that now have AIDS today, is woefully underreported. Because most people, most, more than half of the people, who get AIDS do not die from AIDS. Their death certificates tell you that they died from pneumonia, or they died from diabetes, or they died from TB. They died from some other opportunistic disease. Now, the real cause of their death was the AIDS, but that's not what's being reported. Now, its spread has hastened by ignorance, prejudice, denial, and the freedoms of the sexual revolution. I want to underline that, sexual revolution. Hey, we wanted to go out and gangbang anything that wiggled, moved, or squirmed. And it's not just here in America, it's worldwide. We wanted to be sexually free from thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, let me remind you that there's no such thing on planet Earth, no such thing as sexual relations outside of marriage on this planet without a penalty. AIDS is simply one of many penalties that we pay for the violation of law. So if you want to go out and break the law, well, get after it. I'm not here to tell you to do it or not to do it. I'm just a reporter reporting on facts. But you ought to understand that if you break the law, there's a penalty to pay. And the sexual revolution was the choice that we made, and AIDS is the penalty that we're paying. Now, along the way from oddity, it has now transformed itself into pandemic, and AIDS has changed the way people live and the way they love. AIDS has changed the world. Now, slowed but unchecked, the epidemic's relentless march has established footholds in the world's most populous countries, and advances in medicine and prevention that have made the disease manageable in the developed world haven't reached the rest of the world yet. I'm going to underline manageable. We have what we call the AIDS cocktail over here in the West, that you people over in the East and the South and the North are all lusting and coveting after. Let me point out to you that there is no cure for AIDS. Well, not a conventional cure. There is a cure for AIDS, but it's not the conventional drug cure. So, keeping that in mind, these AIDS medicines and cocktails that they've come up with will extend your life 5 years. 5 years, and they call that a cure. Then you die. But you don't die from AIDS, you die from something else, like TB or pneumonia or some other opportunistic disease, which then is not related to AIDS. I want to point out, boys and girls, that you want to avoid AIDS like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Because if you don't avoid it, you will die with it. Assuming that you don't die from it. In the worst case, it's in sub-Saharan Africa. The epidemic has been devastating, and the next 25 years of AIDS promise to be deadlier than the first 25 years. So if you think it's bad now, wait until the next 25 years goes by, it's going to be worse. AIDS could kill 31 million people in India and 18 million in China by 2025. Now that's just 19 years away. Over the next 19 years. 31 million in India and 18 million in China. Just based upon the numbers that we have going by right now, let's take 18 and 31. That's 49 million. We'll round it off to 50. Take 50 million people divided by 19. That's about 2.5 million people a year. 2.5 million people a year. Worldwide, of course. Now, that's in those two countries, just India and China, 2.5 million a year over the next 19 years. That's as many people as die in the United States from all causes every single year. And they're going to die just from AIDS. Now, here's another factor that you should plug in to your computer, and that is that AIDS doubles geometrically. The spread of this disease is growing geometrically. Geometric means it grows 1, 2, 4, 8. Where do you go from 8? 16. Where do you go from 16? 32. When you do that 32 times, starting with a penny, 32 doublings takes you to $40 million. $40 million. Pretty impressive, isn't it? Now, AIDS doesn't double every year, but it doubles every 3 or 4 years. So if you go back 25 years, you had a first case. And then today, you've got 65 million. So AIDS grew from 1 to 65 million in 25 years. That's more than doubling 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 32 times. Now, 65 million haven't died. Only 25 million have died. 40 million now have it. The 40 million who have it will all die. And they're all going to die over the next 5 years. And that's with or without the AIDS cocktail. Now, there are some successes. There are some people who have survived 10, 15, 20 years with it. about 1 in a million lives about 10, 15, 20 years. And then they put that on the TV as if, wow, look, this guy, if he can live for 20 years, so can I. No, on average, you're going to die about every 5 years. Once you get age, you're going to die in 5 years. I know that Social Security puts out the same kind of propaganda. That is, the average lifespan of Americans is 75. Therefore, when you retire at age 62, you'll get to draw your Social Security for 12 years. That's the average. Some people it's longer, some people it's less, on average. So let's take our averages, boys and girls, and it's 5 years. Once you're diagnosed with AIDS, with or without the drug cocktail, average lifespan, 5 years. Just mark it down on your calendar. 2006, you get AIDS. 2011, you'll be dead, on average. It is the worst and deadliest epidemic that humankind has ever experienced, said Mark Sterling. He's the director of the East and Southern Africa for UNAIDS. More effective medicines, better access to treatment, and improved prevention in the last few years have started to lower the grim projections. But even if new infections stopped immediately, additional African deaths alone would exceed 40 million, Sterling said. Okay, now that's additional African deaths all by themselves will exceed that 40 million. We will be grappling with AIDS for the next 10, 20, 30, or 50 years, he said. Well, that's true. You're going to be grappling with it for many years into the future or until the second coming, when I'm sure that we'll put an end to it. There's a solution to AIDS, and that is abstinence from sexual activity outside of marriage. Okay? Now, anything short of that just adds to the problem. And I'm not a moralist, and I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm just here as a reporter to report to you these are the facts. You're an adult. Act like one, do the math, and then make a decision. People who have AIDS made their decision. And there's an old adage that says, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. Now, there's a search for a vaccine. What we really want is we want free sex. And then we want to get out of jail free card. So that if we get AIDS, we want a cure. Well, okay. Dream on. We had a disease problem here. It was called syphilis and gonorrhea, which are normally just fatal diseases. And then some guy came along and he said, well, listen, you people can go out and break this law. You don't have to practice this abstinence. You don't have to practice thou shalt not commit adultery. That's religious hocus pocus. We've got penicillin and sulfa drugs. You go out to Flo's and you have a good time. If you are unfortunate and you come down with a dose of clap, you come to us and we'll sell you forgiveness of sin in the form of penicillin and sulfa drugs. And so they did that starting in the 1930s. Worked like a shot. Now we've got super strains of gonorrhea, super strains of tuberculosis, and a new disease called AIDS to take the place of the old disease called gonorrhea and syphilis, which are still right with us, still with us. But they're just kind of a nuisance unless you get one of the super strains, in which case now the antibiotics can't touch it. Now what are you going to do? Well, we're going to search for a vaccine. And efforts to find an effective vaccine have failed dismally so far. The International AIDS Vaccine Initiative says 30 are being tested in small-scale trials. More money and more efforts are being poured into prevention campaigns, but the efforts are uneven. Success varies widely from region to region and country to country. Okay, so much for your AIDS vaccine. You're not going to have an AIDS vaccine because AIDS now is worth $100,000 per year per patient here in the West. And so what the AIDS sufferers want, those that have AIDS, they want the rest of us taxpayers to pick up the tab for their indiscretions and their sins. And some guy comes along and says, well, wait a minute, what about the guy that got AIDS from a transfusion? And I say, yeah, that's right, that's sin. It's against the law. It's against the law for you to eat blood. And so the guy says, well, he didn't eat blood, he mainlined it. Oh, that's right, he didn't eat it, he mainlined it. Okay, well, get after it. If you think you need a blood transfusion, well, go ahead and have it. Now they got the blood supply cleaned up. Well, that's what they tell us. You know, that's what they tell us. Now you've got teenagers over here in the United States, one teenager, that is, well, it's one person between the ages of 12 and 25. So in that age group, you know, the teeny boppers primarily, one out of 25 now has a sexually transmitted disease. They call them STDs over here. We're pretty scientific people in America, so we call them STDs. 25% of our population is infected with these STDs. But they inform us, practice safe sex. And what do you call safe sex? Well, safe sex is where you practice sex with a condom. That's safe sex. Okay. So for the last 25 years, we've been practicing the sexual revolution, number one, and safe sex, number two. And today we have one in four infected with an STD. So much for safe sex, huh? Now, let me tell you what safe sex is. Safe sex is called abstinence. Safe sex is called thou shalt not commit adultery. Safe sex is an understanding that on planet Earth, there's no such thing as sexual relations outside of marriage. Let me repeat that. On planet Earth, there is no such thing as sexual relations outside of marriage without a penalty. All right, so let's get that one straight. Now, if you understand that, you got to make a choice. It's either Flo's Whorehouse on Friday nights for fun and frolic with the attendant risk, or it's abstinence. See how simple that is? Now, if you can't remain abstinent, then what you need is a wife, W-I-F-E, or a husband. So still, science offers some promise. There's always the promise. Science is always offering promise. We have a promise of a cancer vaccine. We have a promise of an AIDS vaccine. We have a promise of a cure for diabetes. We have a promise for a cure from Lou Gehrig's disease. Yeah, we've been promised for more than 100 years by allopathic medicine. And Americans prefer to believe in promises than reality. Promises over reality. So science offers some promise. In highly developed countries, cocktails of powerful antiretroviral drugs have largely altered the AIDS prognosis from certain death to a manageable chronic illness. I'm going to underline that. It's now been altered to a manageable chronic illness, and that's where we're going to keep it, because a chronic illness produces $100,000 a year. $100,000 a year from a total invalid for the rest of his life paid for by taxpayers. Now, that's going to go on until there is a limit. Now, I don't know where this limit is, but let's just think about it for a moment. You see, you take one guy, gets AIDS, and then over the doubling period, we'll call it 1 year, another guy gets AIDS from this guy, and at the end of the year, we got two. Those two guys go out and infect two guys, and now we got four. The four guys go out and infect four more, and that gives us 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. Now watch this. You got 6.5 billion people in the world, and 40 million of them are infected by AIDS. So we go from 40 to 80 million, and then we go from 80 to 160, and then we go from 160 to 320, and we go from 320 to 640. Now we can really score, because from 640 we go to 1280. Now that's 1,280 million people. Now from 1280, we can go to 2560. Then we can go to 25 to 5 billion. Then we can go from 5 to 10 billion and 10 to 20 billion. All we need to know is what's the doubling period. Is it 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? And then we can extrapolate that out. Because unless you come up to a conclusion, and the conclusion is going to be it's not going to infect everybody, because some of us will not become infected. Some of us won't practice the sexual revolution. We won't go down to flows. We're going to stay away from her. But you're going to kill a bunch. You're going to kill some big bunches. In fact, God told us that the numbers are going to be staggering. The numbers that we're going to see dead on one side and the number dead on another. See if I can find that for you. I think it's about Psalm 90 or 91. Be patient with me. I'm old. Psalm 91. Yep, Psalm 91, verse 7. A thousand shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh to thee. Because in verse 11, he'll give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all of your ways, and they shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. So, tuck that one away in your heart. 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other. Now that's biblical proportions again. You know, you're talking about God, and you know, when this guy talks, you know, he speaks in big terms, like worldwide flood wipes out all but 8 people in the world. Those are big terms. And here with the Great Tribulation, he also uses big terms. He uses terms like I will save a tithe of you alive. That's 10%. Well, you take 6.5 billion people and then you're going to save a tithe of those alive? 10%. And that's 650 million people. And we're still out here searching for a vaccine. And we're going to keep this at a manageable chronic illness because it's very, very profitable. Well, boys and girls, how many people can have AIDS at $100,000 a pop in the United States before the nation goes broke? I mean, you know, I'm not a great mathematician, and I'll leave it up to you, but just take $100,000. Every time you get 10 people with AIDS on this AIDS cocktail, it costs around $1 million a year to care for those people. So all you got to do is double those 10 to 20, and then you got 2 million, and then 4 million, and then 8 million, and you just, pretty soon, you know, you start getting in. You know, by the time you get 1 million people with $100,000 a year cost, you know, you're talking about $100 billion a year, aren't you? Well, it's just one short step to go from $100 billion a year and multiply that times 10 and you got $1 trillion, ain't it? Well, there's only so many trillion-dollar bills, you know, and pretty soon you get to have, by the time you get 1 million, 2 million, 3 million people in the United States with AIDS, and you're spending $100,000 a piece, it's either one, you can't spend that much, or two, it's going to consume all of the gross domestic product, and then besides that, it gets worse than that. Pretty soon, it'll consume twice that amount, and then it's like having $100,000 a year income and a disease that costs you $100,000 a year, and then next year your wife comes down with the same disease, but your income stays static. Now, what are you going to do? Now, they tell us that there's great hope that current AIDS drugs might prevent high-risk people from becoming infected. One of these, tenofovir, is being tested in several countries. Plans are to test it as well with a second drug called emtricitabine, or FTC. But nothing can be stated with certainty until clinical trials are complete. said Anthony Fossey. He's a leading AIDS researcher and infectious disease chief at the U.S. National Institutes of Health. And then there's the risk that treatment will create a resistant strain, or as some critics claim, it will cause people to lower their guard and have more unprotected sex. That's what we need, more unprotected sex. That's more sex with fewer condoms. Only 1 in 5 people now receive these drugs. Medicine offers less hope in the developing world, where most victims are desperately poor with little or no access to the medical care needed to administer and monitor AIDS drugs. Globally, just 1 in 5 HIV patients get the drugs that they need, according to a recent report by UNAIDS, the body leading the worldwide battle against disease. Let me tell you what these AIDS drugs cost to produce. They have a drug over here in the United States. It's called aminofeds or menafeds or something like that. Fetoamines or something. And they put this drug, this chemical, into Sudafed, for instance. And then the drug dealers come along, buy all that off the counter, and then they take it out and then they sell it, and they make these illegal drugs with them. And it's so profitable. These drugs are so cheap and so profitable that there are 3 companies in the world that make this basic ingredient, because it's so cheap and labor costs are so expensive here in the United States and Europe, Canada, Australia, and so on. We buy them all from India. So we go to the third world slave labor market. They got 3 chemical manufacturing plants over there, and it costs $1,200 a ton for this chemical. Okay, so you take $1,200 a ton. Okay, so you can produce a pound of it. So let's take $1,200, $1,200, and then let's divide that by 2,000 pounds. And that's about 60 cents a pound. Okay, so let's take it down a little bit further than that, and let's go down to 60 cents a pound. We'll take 0.60, and then divide that by 16, and then it costs about 3 cents an ounce. Well, now, we don't sell drugs by 3 cents an ounce. It's 0.0375, so we'll call it 4 cents an ounce. Now, an ounce has about 31 grams in it, so let's take 31, or let's, just take 30, the 4 cents. Let's just take 0.04 and divide that by 31, and that's 0.00129032, according to my Sharp EL1197G3 Texas Instrument Calculator, which means that that this stuff by the gram. Now, drugs are not sold by the gram. They're sold by micrograms, like maybe 60 micrograms, to a capsule, or maybe 100 micrograms, or maybe 30 micrograms or something. Okay. Are you starting to get my drift? Now, these chemical cocktails that are made into AIDS are chemicals that are manufactured in India, and they're bought by GlaxoSmithKline and Pfizer. Now, these costs for these drugs are top secret, but I have a student who's a druggist, and they even keep these drug prices secret from the druggist. But you see, the druggist, he comes to school here, and he tells me how many micrograms of these various chemical agents are in each one of these capsules. And so he went to work on it. And let's suppose that you're taking a drug over the counter, like a capsule called Sudafed or something like that for your cold. And let's suppose you paid $10 for this package. And let's suppose that this package for $10 has 100 capsules in it. So you're paying about 10 cents per capsule in this over-the-counter drug. Okay, let's just assume it's got this number in it. That's 10 cents a capsule. What does it cost to produce each one of those capsules? It's about 0.00129 cents. Or put another way, you could you could get about 1,000 capsules for a penny. 1,000 for a penny. That's the actual ingredients. Now listen, those capsules cost more than the ingredients that are in the capsules. You know, the little empty capsules? Because I go down to the health food store and I think we buy those for about 1.5 cents a piece. Retail. Now of course when you're buying them by the million, you probably get, you know, 100 for a penny. But I'm just pointing out, these drugs are so cheap that the $100,000 that they're charging you, you AIDS patients out there, and for the actual cost of the ingredient bought by the ton by GlaxoSmithKline from India means that for the $100,000, if it costs the drug manufacturing company a dollar, I would be surprised to manufacture $100,000 worth of goods. Let's get real nasty. Let's suppose it costs the drug company $1,000. Well, then aren't they making a 100 times profit? To give you an illustration, Bill Clinton is real hot and heavy about this AIDS. And so he went over to China, and he is having manufactured in China these very same drug ingredients for $800 in China, which produces a one-year supply for people. Now, if our ex-president Bill Clinton can go to China and get these drugs manufactured in China for $800, I find it hard to believe that GlaxoSmithKline can't produce it for $1,000 here in the United States. They've got access to the same Chinese market that Bill Clinton has, and I'll bet you that they can buy it in bigger quantities and get better cuts than Bill Clinton can. So by God, if Bill Clinton can do it for $800, I find it hard to believe that Pfizer and the rest of them can't. And in any event, then all of you poor people ought to be spending $800, but it's not $800. Listen, they don't need to spend $800 for the drugs, for the drug cocktail, for people in poor countries over the course of a year. They could do it for $1, certainly for $8, certainly for $80, certainly for $800, because that's what Bill Clinton's paying. You see where I'm going with this? Hey, it's not that there's any shortage of drugs out there. There's a shortage of willpower to implement the program that they're advertising. And that is, we're not trying to save all of you people with AIDS. We're trying to kill you with the AIDS. AIDS is a vehicle that is being used to reduce the Earth's population by 90%. Now, that's what the numbers tell me. Hey, let me remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and 7 days a week around the world over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the webpage. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, staff of this network or local radio station. And if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our webpage, georgegordon.org. or call us direct at 417-273-4967. Tonight's report, the AIDS epidemic worldwide, or an AIDS update. And just before we took our break, I pointed out to you the cost of producing these AIDS drugs. Here in the United States, it's $100,000 a year. Bill Clinton's getting it for $800 a year out of China. The actual cost is less than one penny per 1,000 tablets or capsules of the medication. That's the real cost. So even if you, charged $80, you know, you'd be making an outlandish profit. That's how cheap that stuff is to make. All right, now many nations are going backwards, and only one in five are receiving the drugs. And Sterling said that despite the advances, the toll over the next 25 years is going to go far beyond the 34 million thought to have died from the Black Death back in the 14th century, or the 40 million who perished in the 1918 Spanish flu epidemic. Now, that Spanish flu epidemic, they've got pegged at 25 million that they can certify. They suspect as many as 100. And during the Middle Ages, they've documented 25 million, and they suspect it went over 100 million also. 100 million. AIDS isn't very far behind the 100 million. It's already got 65 million people infected in 25 years. So it's going to double at least over the next 25 years from 65 to 130. At least. Guaranteed. Hell, 50 million of them in the next 19 years is coming from just two countries. That's just India and China. Guaranteed. Just based upon the numbers we see today. Now, we thought that these AIDS retroviral drugs over here was going to cure it, was going to stop it dead in its tracks. And then we found out, well, it stops it for 5 years, slows it down, puts it into suspended animation for a period of time, and then you die after 5 years. So that's not the solution. Well, it's not the solution yet, although, you know, keep your hopes up there, kids. Don't give up on the sexual revolution. Don't stop practicing sodomy. Don't go out and get married now. Don't start practicing thou shalt not commit adultery. Let's place our faith and our hopes and dreams in medical science. That's what we've been doing over the last 100 years, and haven't come up with a cure yet for anything, including the common cold. Many nations are going backwards. In at least seven countries, the UN estimates that AIDS has reduced life expectancy to 40 years or less. In Botswana, which has the world's highest infection rate, a child born today statistically can expect to live less than 30 years. AIDS is the leading cause of death in Africa, which has accounted for nearly half of all global AIDS deaths, and the epidemic is still growing, and its peak could be a decade or more away. Almost two-thirds of those infected with HIV live in sub-Saharan Africa, where poverty, ignorance, and neglect, negligent political leadership, extended the epidemic's reach and hindered efforts to contain it. In South Africa, the president once questioned the link between HIV and AIDS, and the health minister urged use of garlic and African potato to fight AIDS instead of effective remedies. I'm going to underline, instead of effective remedies. Excuse me. What the hell are we talking about here? There isn't an effective remedy. You take the antiretroviral drugs and then die 5 years from now. If you don't take the antiretroviral drugs, you die this year. There is no effective remedy. Zero. It doesn't make any difference if you take garlic and raw potatoes and it fails, or if you take $100,000 worth of antiretroviral drugs and it fails, does it? I don't know, I read this kind of crap and it just kind of ticks me off. I mean, these people go to college to get degrees in journalism to write this kind of trash, and then I put it on the air and I got to read this. Let me read it again. It says, the president of South Africa once questioned the link between HIV and AIDS, and the health minister urged use of garlic and the African potato to fight AIDS. Hell, ladies and gentlemen, you could use bear aspirin to fight AIDS, and it would be just as effective as the antiretroviral drugs. If you're going to die in 5 years anyway. Now, it is true that these antiretrovirals will keep you alive for five more years at the cost of $100,000 a year or $500,000 over the course of the treatment, which all goes to the AMA and the pharmaceutical industry. Hey, I'm not opposed to the antiretrovirals. Get after them. But be advised that it's not going to save your life. You're still going to die. If you're 40 today and you get AIDS and you do nothing, you will die at age 40. If you're at age 40 today and you use the antiretrovirals for 5 years, you'll die at age 45 and it costs you $500,000. That's all. I mean, hell, you could save $500,000 if the extra 5 years isn't that important to you. But then, of course, they come to us and they say, yeah, but in 5 years we might have a cure. Yeah, yeah, that's right. You might. But I wouldn't bet on it because in 5 years, if they're making $500,000 a patient and they come up with a cure, are they going to charge $500,000 for the cure? Who's going to pay the $500,000 for the cure? How many of you people out there have $500,000 to pay for the cure? Oh, you want us taxpayers to pay for it. You want to go out and practice free sex and have fun at Flo's Whorehouse with the sexual revolution. And then when you come down with AIDS, you want George Gordon to pay the $500,000 for you to save your life. Is that what you got in mind, partner? Okay. Well, that may work with everybody else, but it ain't going to work with me because I ain't doing it. You want to go out and commit the crime, then you better be able to do the time, because I ain't paying for you. And you're going to say, well, you're not very kind and gentle. I never advertised myself as being kind and gentle. Never once. As far as I'm concerned, you can go to hell in a handbasket. That's the way I see it. I ain't paying a dime to cure anybody from AIDS. It's a cause and effect relationship. You go out here and you break a law, and there's a penalty that you get from it, and then you want me to pay. You want me to pay for your sin? No, hell, even God Himself doesn't expect you to pay for somebody else's sin. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. God Himself says the guy that breaks the law is the guy that pays the penalty. You don't pay the penalty for your fathers or your mothers or your brothers or your sisters or your aunts or uncles or anybody else. And let me tell you that I'm doing good if I can just pay for my own sins. Now notice this paragraph says many nations are going backwards. The life expectancy rate in sub-Saharan Africa is going down. Down, boys and girls. Particularly in southern Africa, we may have to apply a new notion, and that is of underdeveloping nations. These are nations which, because of the AIDS epidemic, are going backwards. Peter Piot, P-I-O-T, the director of UNAIDS, said in a speech in Washington in March. Later, at a meeting in Ubija, Nigeria, last month, Piot cited encouraging news, including a sharp fall in new infections in some African countries. There also has been an eightfold increase in the number of Africans benefiting from antiretroviral treatment, he said. But he said, be warned, the crisis of AIDS continues and is getting worse, and any slackening of our efforts would jeopardize the hard-won gains of each and every one of us. Besides the personal suffering of the infected and their families, The epidemic already has had devastating consequences for African education systems, African industry, African agriculture, and the economies of sub-Saharan Africa in general. The impact is magnified because AIDS weakens and kills many young adults, people in their most productive years. So many farmers and farm workers have died of AIDS that the UN has invented the term new variant famine. It means that because of AIDS, the continent will experience persistent famine for generations instead of the usual cycles of hunger tied to variable weather. All right, now, we're not going to call these famines AIDS-induced. The people that are dying from starvation because of the lack of food caused by the inability of the people because of their weakened condition to grow and produce food, we're not going to claim that that is an AIDS death. We're going to say, oh, that guy died from famine. Oh, that guy died from pneumonia. Oh, that poor fellow. Why, he died from some other disease like cholera, which is caused by what? An impaired immune system. And the impaired immune system made it possible for the opportunistic disease to kill this guy so that his death certificate can say died from TB or famine. Now, kids, the famine epidemic is already two or three times the size. The number of people that have already died is underestimated by two or three or five times, and the number of people that have it is underestimated. Hell, they tell you very plainly, the average Joe Sixpack in Africa, he doesn't even know he's got AIDS. He's carrying it. He's spreading it to others, doesn't even know he's got it. And now it's in the two most populous countries in the world, China and India. And both of those countries have their own sex trade, you know. And it's already rampant in Southeast Asia. And in Thailand, that's where they've got the heaviest concentration of the sex trade in the world is in Thailand. The sex trade capital of the world. So get after it. Let's get after more of this adultery and fornication and more free sex and see if we can't increase AIDS. But there's a sidelight that comes to this HIV that nobody mentions. But it was put out the other day, and I wanted to cite it. Circumcision may stop millions of HIV deaths. Circumcision. Do you know where circumcision comes from? It comes from the Hebrew Bible. Did you know that? How in the world could circumcision stop millions of HIV deaths? Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? If you go out and get circumcised, you can prevent catching HIV. Well, circumcising men routinely across Africa could prevent millions of deaths from AIDS. So says the World Health Organization researchers and colleagues reported on Monday. They analyzed the data from trials that showed men who had been circumcised had a significantly lower risk of infection with the AIDS virus, and they calculated that if all of the men in Africa were circumcised over the next 10 years, that some 2 million new infections and around 300,000 deaths would be avoided over the next 10 years in Africa. Researchers believe circumcision helps cut infection risk because the foreskin is covered in cells that the virus seems unable to easily infect. The virus may also survive better in a warm, wet environment like that found beneath a foreskin. So if men were circumcised, fewer would become infected and thus could not infect their female partners. The human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, which causes AIDS, now infects close to 40 million people, has killed 25 million. It mostly affects sub-Saharan Africa, and the main mode of transmission is sex between men and women. Several studies have suggested that men who are circumcised have a lower rate of HIV infection, and this has been especially noticeable in some parts of Africa, where some groups are routinely circumcised while neighboring groups are not. So last year, Dr. Bertrand Avert of the French National Research Agency and colleagues at the World Health Organization found that circumcised men in South Africa were 65% less likely to become infected with the deadly and incurable virus. His team then did an analysis to see what would happen if all African men were in fact circumcised. Well, in West Africa, male circumcision is common, and the prevalence of HIV is low, while in Southern Africa, the reverse is true. Most of the males are not circumcised, they wrote in a current report published in the Public Library of Science Medicine. This analysis shows that male circumcision could avert nearly 6 million new infections and save 3 million lives in sub-Saharan Africa over the next 20 years, they wrote. Overall, they project that universal male circumcision, that's worldwide, would reduce the rate of infections by 37%. Now, boys and girls, if every man in the world were circumcised, it would reduce the AIDS infection rate by a third. Just circumcision alone. Just following that one biblical law. Now, that doesn't cure AIDS. That doesn't mean that if you're circumcised, you won't get AIDS. It just reduces your overall chances. If you want to eliminate AIDS, practice circumcision along with thou shalt not commit adultery. Don't practice fornication or adultery, and you can eliminate it. See how simple that is? And God told us that, 3,100 years ago. He said, no, listen, let me give you this law over here. Go out and practice this. I don't know who figured this out, but somebody woke up one day and said, yeah, but adultery and fornication are so much fun, and there's so much excitement, and there's thrills galore down at Flo's Whorehouse, and that's the choice we want to make. Now, don't you think for a minute that George Gordon wants to take away your fun and frolic on Friday night and eliminate Flo's Whorehouse. No, that's not my goal in life. I don't care what you people do. It's just that I think that you should have some information. And so when I saw this article, I said, well, let me pass this information out. Those of you that are uncircumcised, I'm sure, are not going to rush down and get circumcised now so that you can avoid AIDS. But when you come down with AIDS, I want you to remember where you heard it first here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, that had you been circumcised, then your chances of contracting AIDS would have been reduced by about two-thirds. 65% is a kissing cousin to 67%, and 67 is two-thirds. Now, male circumcision alone cannot bring the HIV/AIDS epidemic in Africa under control. Even circumcised men can become infected, though their risk of doing so is much lower, the journal cautioned in a commentary. So I thought I'd pass that one along to you so that those of you that are circumcised can sit there and say, well, now I'm really safe practicing safe sex because I'm circumcised. Now, the astonishing numbers have grown from a humble beginning. Nobody knows for sure when or where this AIDS epidemic is thought to have begun in the primeval forests of West Africa, when a virus lurking in the blood of a monkey or a chimpanzee made the leap from one species to another, infecting a hunter. That's the fairy tale that's been spread about. Let me tell you that coming from an MI6 British intelligence officer by the name of Chapman, he said that he was present in West Africa when HIV was first discovered by British intelligence or developed by British intelligence in Sierra Leone. And the year was 1963, not 1959. And AIDS had been around. AIDS had been around from before that. They've actually come up now with two or three blood samples or tissue samples from people that go back into the 40s now that actually had this. And that just demonstrates what God told us in the beginning. He said, now, the creation was completed at the foundation of the earth. So AIDS was created by God in the Garden of Eden at the foundation of the earth. It was present. It's been around. And because it's been around for all these years, the British took it and they synthesized it. They made a germ warfare agent out of it, just like they have so many other agents. And they have now unleashed it upon the earth, unleashed it upon the world. I don't know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. You know, the genie's out of the jar. AIDS is out of the genie bottle, just like nuclear weapons are out of the genie jar. We're not going to put it back in. We're not going to abolish nuclear weapons. We're going to use nuclear weapons in the near future. We're going to kill a bunch of people with them. And we're going to continue to kill a bunch of people with AIDS. But the fairy tale is, and these researchers have found HIV in blood samples collected in 1959 from a man in Kinshasa, Congo. Genetic analysis of his blood suggested the HIV infection stemmed from a single virus in the late 40s or early 50s. For decades, at least, these early human infections went unnoticed on a continent where life routinely is harsh, short, and cheap. Well, now, kids, you can't expect the British to come out and say, hey, listen, let's come clean and tell you the truth about AIDS. We developed it as a germ warfare agent. No, that's not going to happen. So we have to come up with, it's kind of like 9/11. You know, you can't expect the CIA and the president to come out and say, well, listen, the economy is going south and we had to have something that we could use as an excuse for printing more money, declaring war, so that we could keep more people working and keep Halliburton and Bechtel and the rest of these corporations from going upside down, causing a lot of unemployment. And we think 3,000 lives in the World Trade Centers is a small price to pay for saving the economy. Now, did you expect the White House to issue a press statement like that? Come on, kids. Let's grow up and get real, shall we? Now, the initial reactions and prejudices that are associated with AIDS slowed the early response to the epidemic and limited the funding. Do you think that happened accidentally, or do you think maybe it was orchestrated that way? Too much time, money, and effort has been spent on the wrong priorities, Sterling said. And over the past 25 years, the one real weakness was the search for the magic bullet. There's no quick and simple fix, he said, but with the recent successes, we're starting to see the end of epidemic. Excuse me. First of all, he says, there's no quick and simple fix. We thought there was a silver magic bullet over the past 25 years, and we were wrong. But let's keep believing in the magic silver bullet and the quick, simple fix, he said, because we've had some successes. We're starting to see an end to the epidemic. Excuse me, we're seeing an end to the epidemic, and it's growing every year? Oh my God, that can only come from somebody that's been to college and has a degree after his name and letters now, couldn't it? Because it defies any reason, any logic, or any common sense making that kind of a statement. So anyway, there's that story on circumcision, and there's the AIDS story, a recent update. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. For more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, just go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.